Imagine what our world would look like if those with greater financial means could afford electricity, while those less fortunate will have to go without. This dreadful scenario is closer to becoming a reality unless the current U.S. energy policy changes course. Good afternoon, I'm Steve Evans with News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Moon Lake Electric has joined a growing force of civic leaders and agencies demanding that the Biden administration course correct the current U.S. energy policy before an energy crisis ensues. Moon Lake Electric Company is taking action and has issued a declaration of impending U.S. energy crisis, which was issued on June 15th. Joining us in studio is Moon Lake CEO Yankton Johnson. Now, Mr. Johnson, along with the management and employees of Moon Lake Electric, live and work in the energy distribution world and understand the supply and demand nature of this industry. Over the next several minutes, we'll explore the subject of domestic energy and how a supply problem could affect you and your family. Mr. Johnson, Yankton Johnson, it's good to have you in studio with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. We always appreciate the opportunity to be here and to visit with our members. We appreciate the invite.
Yankton, how close are we to having an energy crisis?
So before I get into that, Steve, can I just real quick highlight what you mentioned just briefly a little bit earlier, and that is I want to thank our Moon Lake employees, our management team. We're 97 strong. We also have a board of seven directors that help assist us through these issues, and we really appreciate all they do, and I'm very grateful for them. Back to your question, we're really close, and unfortunately, this is something that we have been concerned about for quite some time. We are seeing pieces of this throughout the last couple years, and some of this is being gauged on the fluctuation of weather. So last year, Christmas Eve, I don't know that a lot of people know this, but 9 states in the United States of America experienced blackouts or brownouts. We also was flirting with some issues and concerns with potentially seeing that in the western states last year when, and it was actually last August, when we were seeing really high temperatures in the month of August. June and July, we were concerned about last year. However, some rainstorms came in and it didn't impact us as much as we thought it was going to. And then August hit and it was abnormally hot for the month of August and into September, driving energy rates from what's normal of 40 to 50 megawatts per hour to a high of nearly $3,000 a megawatt hour. I keep telling our members, I've mentioned this multiple times, but energy flows towards money. And we produce about 460 megawatts. I say we, it's our wholesale power provider, Deseret Power, produces 460 megawatts of power at the Bonanza plant. 150 megawatts of that power our service territory uses. And that power actually goes to what we call an energy imbalance market. And there's folks that divvy that power out based on supply and demand.
So the problem that we're having with the blackouts and the brownouts last year that you mentioned, is that a supply problem or a demand problem?
That's a really great question. And when we start talking about this, I think we need to dissect it and break it down to capacity. That's what this really boils down to, is a lack of capacity. And by definition, capacity is the ability to dispatch power at the time of need.
So it's a supply problem.
It's a supply problem. And we often refer to that in our industry as capacity. That's why it's particularly alarming for us that this current administration continues to discuss and remove our baseload power, dispatchable power, and not really have a backup plan as to what they're going to replace it with. There's lots of discussions. In fact, this current administration put billions of dollars into renewable energy. And if you look at renewable energy, which again, we are a supporter of all the above power resources. I want to make it very clear that I am not an anti-renewable. In fact, I believe in renewables. I just think that we have to make sure that we understand what we're doing to our members when you start taking base load power off and replacing it with intermittent power. What that means is capacity and factor reliability and factoring in what we're removing by removing base load power and replacing it with intermittent power, you're essentially going from your power being there with a reliability factor of 98% of the time with our current resources and our base load power, and replacing that with intermittent power, which basically the statistics show that 20 to 30% of the time, depending on the renewable source, solar is 20%. A 20% capacity factor, and wind is a 30% capacity factor. So what that says, and I've said this before, when you turn the light switch on with baseload dispatchable power, there's capacity there. You flip it on 98% of the time in our service territory, the power is there. Mm-hmm. If we replace that today with renewables such as solar and wind, that capacity factor is going to reduce from 98% to roughly 24%. So you wake up in the morning, you flip the switch on, 98% of the time it's there now. You remove baseload power, we wake up in the morning in the future, 20% of the time that capacity is going to be available.
Let me simplify this by kind of bringing it down to level where I can understand it better. The supply, why can't companies like Moon Lake Electric or Rocky Mountain Power or any other power organization in the country just simply increase its demand? Is the Biden administration's energy policies standing in the way of further development of fossil fuel generated electricity?
They're definitely crippling it, and I think they're doing it too premature, in my opinion. If we break this down by his policy to help our members have a better understanding, his current administration has goals of going completely carbon-free, a carbon-free energy sector by 2035.
2035.
So that's unrealistic. 11 years. That's too ambitious. There's no way we can remove coal-fired energy in 13 years and replace it with renewable energy.
Kind of like shooting the horse before the automobile is invented or developed.
That's exactly right. I mean, I'm not trying to lead anyone to believe that I'm not for eventually feathering in more of the renewables, but it just can't be all at once. And that's where I often talk about pumping the brakes. Let's be realistic. He also has, with the current administration, they have goals of going 100% fossil-free, net zero, by 2050. California has goals of, and the Biden administration as well, have goals of reducing automobile sales by 50% with gas and natural gas, from reducing it from gas vehicles to electric vehicles, 50% by 2030. So sales of vehicles by 2030 is their goal, will be 50% electric vehicle in the future.
What is the motivation of Moon Lake Electric to issue this declaration? What are you hoping to accomplish with it? And what are your goals?
Another great question, and really one of the goals is what we're doing here today. We want to educate our members. We want to get the word out that what we are seeing coming down the pipeline is super alarming for us. But most importantly, at the end of the day, our service territory experiences a blackout, and I'm not pushing the panic button. I'm not saying everyone freak out, the sky's falling, but I'm saying in the event that that does happen with the current trends of what we are seeing, I want to be able to stand up in front of our members and say, we tried to warn this country, this nation, that this was coming down the pipeline. The power goes off, who are they going to blame? Who are our members going to blame? The Biden administration?
No, they're going to blame the local power company.
Yeah, they're going to point fingers towards Moon Lake. And ultimately, my goal is to be able to stand up in front of our members and say, I tried. And hopefully I can do more than that. And I can say, I did. You know, we did. Our management team and our board of directors took a stance on this. It changed people's understanding and their motive. And we were able to buy ourselves some more time so that we don't experience blackouts and brownouts in the near future. The result of blackouts and brownouts will be deaths. I mean, perishable goods, they only last up to 3 hours. Anything beyond a 3-hour outage, we're going to start seeing grocery stores chucking things in the trash. That's when we get hungry. That's when things really come to light. In the middle of a 40 below winter, we are really wanting to encourage our members to prepare for the worst, but plan for the worst and hope for the best is a better way to put that. And we just want you to have backups. We want you, if you are a member, particularly our hospitals, you know, we got to make sure they have generators and those types of things. They can't be in the middle of major surgeries and the power go out. Those are real concerns for us. And, you know, you think about going back to what our discussion was a little bit earlier. This country has put 330,000 electric vehicles in place in 2020. That's reduced a little bit in 2021 to 310,000. 110,000 of those electric vehicles are in the state of California. And you think about an electric vehicle and the good that brings to our environment, but they still have to be powered from a reliable source. And we are now seeing statistics that show that people that purchase these electric vehicles have range anxiety. You know, they can't go beyond an hour because they don't know where they're going to charge and if there's going to be a charging station available.
So the infrastructure is not in place.
It's not in place
for that. I, you know, especially where we live here in the Uinta Basin, mm-hmm. where we're 2 hours to 3 hours from any major hub, right?
Absolutely.
Where energy would be available to us. We could drive to Salt Lake, but we couldn't get home. We'd have to stop at a charging station. And how long does it take to charge a car?
Well, it varies. So there's three different types of charging stations. There's a level one, level two, and level three. Mm-hmm. And based on which level you're at, it can take anywhere from 24 hours, in excess of 24 hours, all the way down to a level three, which I believe they can now do that in about 45 minutes to an hour. But still, if there's not, who wants to gas up for an hour? We are an American nation that has become very fast-paced with technology. We have zero patients at a stoplight. How can you tell me that we're going to be comfortable with hours of charging an electric vehicle and nothing to do?
Right, right. Well, what I'm hearing from you is that renewable energy is good and we should pursue it, but let's not shoot the horse.
Exactly.
We're not quite ready. Let's not destroy the economy and put the safety of the public at risk because of these aggressive, unrealistic projections.
Almost mandates. I mean, this has become such a concern that the Federal Energy Regulatory Committee, FERC is what we refer to them, has issued a warning to the Senate committee that this is alarming to them. These are the folks that dispatch our power, that get it to our homes. America, in my opinion, was founded in 1880 when Thomas Edison created electricity. In 1930, that flowed into homes. In 1938, Moonlight Electric was established with some of our rural members who said, we simply just want one light bulb in our home. What would you guess in 2023 the average home has for light bulbs?
How many?
85
light bulbs.
85 light bulbs. You'll see some homes that have 20 or 30 on their front porch. I should be happy about that, right? We're in the business to sell power.
Well,
my point is, back to your original question, supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to layer this stuff onto our grid. In the meantime, we're taking gigawatts of power off by reducing coal-fired dispatchable and natural gas dispatchable power, and we're replacing it with intermittent power, and it's just not going to work. We can't.
It's not consistent, and it's not reliable.
It's not reliable. It's 20% capacity factor, which means 20 to 30% the power will be there. That's a real concern for us. We know that's unrealistic. We know that's not going to happen by 2035. We aren't saying that they should pump the brakes and stop investing money into renewables. We're just saying, calm down, relax. You can't take off megawatts of dispatchable power and replace it, or excuse me, you can't take gigawatts of dispatchable power off the grid and replace it with megawatts. At some point, the economics won't be there.
As we can see in California.
Exactly.
In my opening statement, I asked the audience to imagine a world that would look like if those with greater financial means could afford electricity, while those that are in the middle class and lower class cannot afford it. Is that realistic?
It is realistic. Did that happen? It's happening right now as we speak. I've had an opportunity to live in a third world country for a couple years, and in that area, they experience daily brownouts and daily and sometimes weekly blackouts. And it is very realistic. Those folks there in that third world country that had money, their homes were energized. The ones that didn't, their homes weren't energized. I think we will see that. As I mentioned, our average monthly bill at Moon Lake Electric is $81 a month. That's at a 50 megawatt per hour cost. You inflate that to $3,000 a megawatt hour, it's going to go from $80 to north of $3,000 a month. Who can afford that? Well, there's people in our service territory that can, and kudos to them. But the average Joe can't. And the widow can't, and the elderly can't, and it's gonna really impact them. We can't continue to hold our rates with that's affordable and reliable at what we have, 5.7 cents a kilowatt hour. The state's average is right at 11% a kilowatt hour. In our service territory, it's 5.7 cents. We can't continue to keep our rates at those levels with the way that this country is moving. Another point I want to make is, what would you guess, and these are Senator Romney's numbers that I heard him talk about in April when I was back in Washington, D.C. What would you guess the number of coal plants are in China?
Oh, the number of coal plants in China?
Total number of
coal plants in China. I wouldn't know. Much more than the United States. So you're talking about the global warming effect.
The number that was used was 4,500 coal-fired plants in China.
Okay.
The United States of America, which, by the way, China's adding at a rate of 2 per month coal-fired plants.
Okay.
They're adding gigawatts, roughly around 100 gigawatts in a year to their grid.
Are we going to be vulnerable from a defensive standpoint because we don't have a reliable energy source?
You know, I don't know if I'm qualified to get into that, but my common sense logic says yes. And the concern there is we have 525 coal-fired plants in the United States of America with goals of decommissioning 10 to 15 a year. That tells you right there that when we talk about the ozone transport rule and the good neighbor rule and those types of things, we're seeing a lot of those issues floating towards America from outlying countries. And I think it's a concern, it's a risk. We can't continue to watch our neighboring countries who possibly are at some point gonna be an enemy to us. We have to make sure we stay up with them. And that's where I said earlier, this country was founded by electricity, and we can't go backwards. We can't go back to one light bulb in our house. We can't go back to brownouts and blackouts. That's third world country type stuff. That's not who we are. We're Americans. We're all about free enterprise. We're all about advancing in technology and making sure that we can continue to be the best.
Is the energy produced from a coal-fired power plant in the United States cleaner than anywhere else in the world?
You know, that's a really good question. And the answer to that is yes, because I also heard back in Washington, D.C., you want to know what the difference between China and America is? Cool. In terms of coal and energy and resources? America has EPA, China has a bulldozer. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying that that's who we want to be, but I'm just saying there's so many regulatory red tape issues and concerns that we're regulating ourselves out of business.
So we need to find a happy medium.
There needs to be a happy medium
where the environment's protected, and
absolutely,
the economy and the safety, the public safety of the citizens of the United States, especially in rural America. Are rural Americans going to be more vulnerable than those in the metropolitan areas?
We definitely are, and I think a lot of that boils down to logic. I mean, are they going to worry more about Los Angeles or Roosevelt when the power goes off? And think about who lives in Los Angeles. It's money. And as I have mentioned multiple times, power flows towards money.
So the electricity would be, if we had a supply problem, which we're growing into that direction, would be focused more towards the metropolitan areas. And rural America would suffer more if there was a choice to be made, correct?
Absolutely. And one thing that we're working on in our office is we're trying to gear up and prepare for the worst. And we are running numbers and looking at different ways that we can switch. And let's say we experience a brownout or a blackout in our system. We are looking at ways to keep the hospitals on. We're looking at ways to keep the care centers on and power to them. The grocery stores. Here last year about this time, we had a two-hour outage due to a faulty switch, supply chain issues, COVID. It was all of that was mixed into this. It was very challenging to get the power back on. We noticed, and this was in Fort Duchesne, where the power went off, where the switch was bad, from the stoplight by Jiffy Lube in Ballard all the way up to Hilltop, vehicles mm-hmm. were backed up because the stoplight wasn't working. Those are things we just don't think about.
And you don't think about the food in your refrigerator that after 6-7 hours will go bad. Your freezer will start to thaw, and you know that people can get sick.
Absolutely. Again, I'm not trying to push the panic button, but I am trying to push the alarm button. It's time that we take a stance. It's time that we stand up for what we know is right, and we try to protect our members. And not only that, as Americans, we need to voice our concerns.
In conclusion, as we wrap this up, two questions for you. Where can we find this declaration? And secondly, what can we as citizens of the Uinta Basin do to support you in your effort?
Great questions. First question, this declaration is on our website. It's been published in the Deseret News and KSL articles. It's actually hit a national article in, I believe, back east somewhere called the Daily Caller. It's been talked about in our neighboring states in Idaho and Nevada. They are looking at joining forces and compiling a very similar, a sister letter to this that they have been in contact with me on. And I just would encourage everyone to stop and take a minute and read and do some research. This isn't something that we are just pulling out of a hat. I mean, we've studied this and we're concerned and we're passionate about it. And we want to make sure that we have a reliable, affordable power that is clean for years to come for our members. Lastly, in the second question, what can our members do? I think it's time that we stand up and we take a stance, whether that's with our congressional members, which, by the way, we have great congressional representatives. They're aware of these situations, but I think it doesn't hurt to continue to drop them an email. My understanding is you have a link on your website that they can drop an email and express their concerns or even thank them for their support on these very issues. I know Senator Lee has met before the Senate committee and addressed these very issues. I know that Senator Romney is concerned about it and has talked about it in great depth. We've had Representative Curtis in our office, and we've talked to him. And that bleeds down to our local representatives and Representative Chu and Representative Winterton and our local county commissioners and mayors. We have talked with all of them about this issue. They're very familiar with it. They're supportive of it. We just want to continue to have our members endorse us and back us on this because it is a very critical issue for our members.
Your representatives, both our state representatives, our federal representatives, and our local representatives, contact information can be found. We actually, through the legislative committee with the Vernal Area Chamber of Commerce, we have a page on the chamber website that lists all of those. On basinnow.com, if you click on the Vernal Area Chamber of Commerce Legislative Committee banner, it will take you directly to that page where all of the contact information for your local representatives is listed. And like you said, understanding how the legislative process works, these representatives want to hear from constituents. They want to hear from you about what's on your mind and how what you're fearful for. You do have more power than you realize you do. If you would click on to that location, or you could call the chamber, or you could call a radio station, we'll tell you how to get there, but it's Basin Now. Just click on that banner would probably be the best and easiest way to do it, and you can get access to phone numbers and email addresses and physical addresses, and you can contact them. You can get bullet points from going to the Moon Lake Electric website and looking at the declaration, and actually make a quick little note that says you support this declaration. You are concerned about the energy stability for our future. Those are some things that you can do as a citizen of the Uinta Basin and a member of the Moon Lake Cooperative.
Yes, sir. That's great advice, and thanks for having those links and opportunities available for our members. I just want to give a shout out for Duchesne County and their county commissioners. They've also put a resolution together backing and endorsing this declaration that Moon Lake has put out. So we're making progress. We're making some noise, and I think if we continue to do this, we're going to see a future that will be a great mix of reliable and renewable and all the above natural gas, coal, and hydrogen power.
Yankton Johnson, CEO of Moon Lake Electric, has been joining us in studio today. We're discussing energy distribution with the energy forecast for rural America, rural Uinta Basin, could potentially look like. And if we continue on the same trajectory, we could very well find ourselves in trouble if we keep our heads in the sand. Thank you for joining us, Yankton. We appreciate you you taking time to visit with us here on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Thanks for joining us.